Now we're joined in studio by novelist, author Etna Shortall. Etna, this is your fifth book.
Correct, yes.
Aha, The Lodgers, which I enjoyed over the weekend.
Thank you very much.
I want to hang out with Tessa.
Yes, me too, I know. Yes. The older characters that I write, the characters that are older than me, are usually just ones I aspire to have in my life telling me to cop on and what to do. And, you know, those people, like, I always think of my grandmother and many older people in my life like this, where they love you, but they don't go on about the fact that they love you. You know what I mean? They show it rather than tell it. And I'm kind of drawn to those people, and they'll tell you to cop on when you need to be told to cop on. And they are kind without telling you all the time that they're being kind.
And there's no BS about them.
No, exactly. It's just really pragmatic, straight. Yes. And I just find that so comforting.
And she's so wise and yet fun. She's not too earnest.
No. And the other thing is she's older than me and than the other character in it, but I mean, she's not that old, she's only 69, but still I find that in a lot of books when you have that older character, they can be kind of patronised or something, you know, but like, obviously she's great with technology, she's a very active life, she's broken her hip at the beginning of the book, and so she kind of takes that as a personal insult almost, because she's so active and now suddenly she's got this restriction on her. But I just love writing those kind of people.
So The Lodgers, as its name suggests, there's the tagline: one house, three strangers, a second chance at happiness. So it's Tessa's house.
Yes.
And we'll get back to your grandmother's house, because it's based on your grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And then after the fall, her son, Senan, is trying to encourage her to get a carer. And she decides, well, instead of that, she'll take in not one lodger, but two lodgers.
Yeah, well, as she
Chloe
says,
and
she's,
Con.
Yeah, yeah, she says she's only 69. Like, I'm probably still young enough to get a job as a carer. Never mind getting, you know what I mean?
Yes,
she's like, I don't need that. But she does need some help around the house. It's a really big house. It's a rickety house. Doesn't have central heating. It needs fuel brought in. It needs cleaning. So, yeah, she has to take in lodgers. She's not happy about it. She's spent her whole life as a social worker, and she's still very involved in her local community centre. She's an activist, so she's much more comfortable helping people than being helped. So she sees it as, okay, I'll take them in, but it'll be me giving them free accommodation, which is a great help, especially in contemporary Dublin. And so that's kind of how she comes to terms with it. And then they come. Con has just come home from abroad. His brother has died, and he feels a sense of responsibility about it. So he's come home, and he is insistent that he must get the room in this house, even though he's not from the area. And we don't know why. It's revealed, of course, but we don't know why he wants to be in this house so much, but he does. And then Chloe is the other lodger. She has left home that morning, packed up all her possessions, without telling her mother she was going, just gone. Again, we don't know why, but it is revealed.
Yes.
And she turns up at the house, and she's actually there as a courier to deliver a package, and doesn't realise there is a room going. But once she realises, she thinks, like, this is fate. And the two of them, are Chloe and Connor, competing for the room, so they don't get off to a great start.
Yes, and so their stories reveal themselves to us. And then the story of the hall
Yes, they're all the kind of community centre, local community centre, is in danger. It's basically they're planning, the developers that own it are planning to knock it to build a hotel. Tessa is very involved in the community centre, and, like I said, an activist, and so she's not going to take that sitting down. So they all get involved.
So the house in the book is in Howth, but your granny's house was out in the country.
Yes, it's
But everything else about the house is you did you holiday there?
Yeah, holiday sounds like it was on foreign soils. I mean, it was a working farm, so I didn't feel like we holidayed.
It wasn't your house, and you went there and you stayed overnight for a number of nights.
Yes, we did.
So that's a holiday.
And it was a holiday because you were allowed to have sweets way more than you were allowed at home, and my granny's cooking remains my favourite cooking to this day. So it was, but I mean, you know, it wasn't in the Algarve.
Where was it?
Leash. Rurally. It still is. She's still there. I love those old houses, like the big house, as they would be known. And, you know, everything about your life, whatever it is, if you're born and you grow up with it, you don't think it's remarkable. And so my granny's house is a very big house. I think it would be called like a minor country mansion. And it's hundreds of years old. And I never questioned it because I just always went there, and it has this really long avenue leading up to it. It was only like when I was a teenager and friends saw photos of it and they were like, what?
Fancy.
They're like, oh, land of gentry, is it? But you don't realise until they went out to you. And then the reality of people living in those big houses is actually just the same as my reality or your, you know, like, and it's a normal person's life in a grand house. And actually, like, there is, like, my grandmother's house, that the book, the house based on, is my favourite house. building in the world. I love it, like, to a level that isn't rational. But those houses are as much a burden as they are a blessing, yes, yeah. You know? Like, my granny actually doesn't have central heating.
But I suppose in her world, that hardens you up.
Yeah, well, she told me, literally said to me when I was a teenager, that central heating, quote, makes you soft. And maybe she's right, because she is one of the strongest, toughest people I know. So maybe she was onto something. Yeah. But they're impossible to keep. Like, you can't, you know, if there's loads of rooms, you're going to close them off. Like, we don't live now. We don't have servants now. We don't live the way those houses were once lived in. But I do think they're important to keep because they are part of our history. A lot of those houses were burnt down, you know, in the War of Independence. So,
do you know the way? It was sort of nice, wasn't it, to write about that house then, if you love it so much.
Yeah.
And you love Tessa, the character. And I suppose that's the essence of a good book, isn't it? That the reader wants to spend time in the company of the characters.
Yeah, but that's exactly writing the book. Like, when I was writing that book, I was like, no, I want to spend time with people I like. People, you know, that are good people that I want to be around, because I will be around them for a year. And then I guess you hope that if that's true, if you do that, that the reader will enjoy spending the time with them as well.
Getting to know them.
Yeah.
And even the periphery characters like Reggie and Malachi, yeah, you know, they're fun to be around as well.
Yeah, I love writing that kind of community cast of characters. And they're all people that are working to save the whole.
Yeah.
And that's also where you get to bring in a lot of humour, because there are some topics in the book that are quite serious. And I'm always trying to balance that, because ultimately I do want it to be fun, you know, and sort of for there to be real heart at the centre of it. I've written 5 novels now, and my publisher will get annoyed sometimes because they will change genre slightly. Sometimes they lean more towards romance. Sometimes they're more of a suburban mystery. This is probably both of those things. But I was thinking about this myself. I understand why that's annoying, because they're trying to pitch it and then I keep changing slightly. But I think what's at the heart of all of them, and definitely this one, is community, this sense of building a community.
Yeah, and I suppose I escaped into your book over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, so that's what I want to hear. Yeah, thank you.
But isn't that it? You know, but it is, it's escapism, because we all have hassle in our own lives.
Yeah.
And it's nice to go in and be, you know, be in the company of these people.
Yeah, and what I always think of it that it still has to be within the bounds of realism. So, like, the characters have problems, and it's not like all those problems just get solved. It's not like, you know, deceased loved ones are suddenly alive, or wasted years are earned back, or, you know, family tensions have just disappeared. No, actually, their central problems don't disappear. It's about finding the strength and, like, love and security from other people that allows you to accept those issues or realise they're actually only a small part of your life. And the resilience, I guess, to overcome them, you know.
So you're a full-time writer now. And
yes.
I know you're writing a column for the Business Post, but it's just maternity.
Yes, I'm filling in for a year doing that. So I'll be finished that in September. But
you took the leap of faith.
Yes, yeah, I was working full-time in the Sunday Times until last August, like almost a year ago now that I left, yeah.
And how does that feel?
Good, yes. When I left, I kept preparing myself for that the day would come where I would wake up and suddenly go, oh no, like have that dread of what have you done? But I haven't actually had that yet. And I think it was, so I became a parent around the same time of COVID. Both my children, like my son was born 6 months later, COVID began, and then my daughter was born during the kind of COVID.
So he's four.
He's nearly four, and she's just gone two.
Right.
And so I find it hard to separate what was, you know, a lot of people had these kind of epiphanies during lockdowns about values and what matters to them, and people change jobs. You know, we read a lot of those articles. I love those stories. But I find it hard to know for me what was becoming a parent and what was COVID, because they're intertwined.
Happened at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely did think about what I wanted, what I valued, what I wanted from life, what I wanted to spend my time doing, what my regrets were going to be, you know, all those kind of things. Mm. And people used to say, oh, how do you do it when I worked full time and I wrote books like at a, you know, one a year, which is kind of being a full-time author. And, you know, it was tough, but it was nothing like once you have kids. Once you have kids, like, forget about it, you know? Like, because I used to say, oh, I get up, you know, for 2 hours before I go to work and I write then. No, wrong. You're actually going to get up 5 hours before you go to work, but you're not going to write a word.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went back from maternity leave with my daughter and I had written about a quarter of The Lodgers. And then I did not write another word after I went back from maternity leave because I had two kids now and it, you know, was busy and my son was sick a bit and I just didn't have any time. And then voluntary redundancy came up. I'd never been eligible. I'd always told myself if it came up, I would just have to take it. So I did. And if I hadn't taken it, I wouldn't have finished my book because the day job will always come first. It's always more immediate.
There's deadlines, yeah.
Yeah, the deadlines. Yeah. And I, like, even though I had a contract to write The Lodgers, it would have just sailed by and I would have, without making a choice, I would have chosen journalism, you know.
And now that you're free from that, of course you could have written for the Sunday Times anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But I know that you love Mayo.
I do love Mayo, yeah.
And would you live there? Because I think when you have a family, if you're going to make a move, just for the kids' sake, it's important that you do before they...
Ideally before they start school,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes,
yeah, no, I would agree. But and I'm always at my partner to, you know, like nudging him bit by bit towards
Mayo.
Towards Mayo. Always, like, you know, he's like, specifically in one direction. But I even, like, you know, I'm a lot more convinced than he is. He really likes where we live and so do I, of course. But, you know, he'd be more reluctant to move. But, I, you know, even I was like, I'd just like to rent for a year and see, you know, before you made this whole change. But anyway, I think... probably not going to happen, but okay. We spend a lot of time there, like on holidays. And I also, before I had kids, I did a lot of writing there. That's obviously, again, harder.
Whereabouts
now,
in Mayo?
Lewisburg.
Oh yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
what? Yeah,
yeah. Love that's it. A bit of paradise there.
I love it. We're just back. We were there for a week, like on our holidays, and we just came back yesterday or the day before yesterday. Yeah, it was great. And like Westport is so close. I love Westport. And
We were talking about Elon Musk and Twitter. It's now X.
X,
just
yes.
So you know.
So saw that this morning.
You'll be Xing as opposed to tweeting.
RIP Twitter, in many senses.
Did you read Etna Shorthall's X's? doesn't even sound right, does it?
You know I have X's. They're a different thing. Do you know what I mean?
I know,
like,
yes.
I'd rather not read about them. Thanks very much. No, thanks.
But did you ever think of, what was that? Was it a High Fidelity or one of those? Nick Hornby books, didn't he?
Where they go through the X's.
He goes and visits all his X's. Did you ever think of doing anything like that?
Oh, Jesus Christ. No. I would say I'm on pretty good terms. Were I to run into, let me see now, I have to go through them all. I wasn't expecting this question. If I were to run into, yes, I would say all of them, I would have a stop and chat.
Oh, good.
So, I mean, isn't that?
Good, that's good. There's an X in the book as well. Yeah. Chloe's X features in the book.
Yes, who is a journalist obsessed with Twitter followers.
On Twitter, what do you think? What do you think of Elon Musk? What he's doing to Twitter?
Well, I think I am on Twitter. I think I fell out of love with it a while ago. I mean, even more so now because the way the algorithms work and like what gets seen and what doesn't get seen. But like, it did become very angry. I have more followers there than Instagram, but I way prefer Instagram and I spend much more time there. I mean, I personally find the news hard to take the older I get, and Twitter is kind of like the worst of that. You know, it's like the most exaggerated of the bad things. I notice that I often get suggested to me are like, stories about the worst, this is what comes up on Twitter for me, the worst things that could happen to people, like the most heart-wrenching stuff, the stuff that I find difficult to read about in a legitimate news site. And it feels very cynical that these are the stories that are always being suggested to me. So no, I'm on Twitter, but I cannot say I enjoy it.
Okay. And you were sort of in the thick of it yesterday because you live over there, don't you, Drumcondra way?
Yes, yeah.
How does an All-Ireland final impinge on you?
Well, I also grew up in Drumcondra, so I have a lot of opinions and prejudices about certain counties, and I say it's all based on living near Crow Park and how they behave in terms of litter, parking, you know, things
peeing
like that.
Peeing in your front garden?
peeing at the, not in my where I grew up, but as peeing at the side of our house we had last year. So And I just look at their jersey and I'm like, well, that's a stroke against certain county, you know. But we actually, yes, like I try not to be there because it's actually lovely in one way because generally the atmosphere is great. But like traffic wise, it's just bedlam, you know. And so we came back from our holidays and we stayed a night with my de facto in-laws. I'm not married, but you know, the nearest thing. Our in-laws in Lucan. But we had family call in that were all in Limerick jerseys and we're going off to watch the match. So we're delighted for them.
One House, Three Strangers, A Second Chance at Happiness. The Lodgers is the new and fifth novel by Etna Shorthall's in bookshops now. Highly recommend it from here. A great holiday read.
Thank you. Yes, I hope so.
Yeah, isn't it?
Escapist.
It'll keep you going for at least a week, if not two.
Good.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Thanks, Etna. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.